The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. She's so good at seeing both sides.
I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm not thinking. I'm just talking.
She sometimes can't see where she's going. It's News-ish with Betty Rock.
I have said for years, it's unfair that couples who find love are rewarded by family and friends buying them things off a gift registry.
I get it.
While we, the single people, well, I say we, it's me. Yeah. The single people are left to fend for ourselves.
One income, you got to do it all yourself.
If I want a toaster, I got to buy it.
I get it.
I have had so many roommates that have gotten married while they were living with me, engaged, married, all this stuff. I will get the hand-me-downs. They'll be like, oh, this is the toaster that my parents gave me when I first moved out. Do you want this one?
It only toasts one side, but it's good enough for you.
Because I got a brand new one from my registry.
Because I'm getting married. Yeah.
But this might even be more ridiculous. There's a new trend of people who are newly divorced, and they're creating an online gift registry. The idea is that those who find themselves splitting from a marriage also find themselves financially vulnerable, and there's a good chance they only have half of their stuff, like appliances and tools and furnishings.
Now, I do have to say, like, typically women are the ones that do the registries. Like, I would be hard-pressed to find one guy that signed up for a marriage registry.
Oh, for sure. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
Because
you
women,
see where I'm going.
Yes, because it is expensive to be a woman and be a friend of another woman,
sure.
Okay? So some say the whole idea of creating a divorce registry is that this is way more helpful than the wedding gift registry, since those are two people coming together and combining their assets. They're like saying, well, you know, this is a divorced person that needs our help,
okay.
But others are not fans, saying that already you've supported them in the wedding registry, you've supported them in the baby shower registry, and now you want us to support you in the divorce registry?
Yeah, we've done your whole life full circle with you.
It's like at some point, spousal support needs to kick in, and it ain't me.
Yeah, there's a couple things in here. One, you're right. Like, I'll be there for you emotionally. How about we do that? And two, if it's women setting this stuff up, and I hate to sound very stereotypical, you usually get most of stuff anyway in the house. Like, honestly, like, usually you get the house and the stuff in the house. A guy is lucky to get a toaster. Like, honestly. Like, so if anyone needs the registry, I'm going to say it needs to be guys, honestly. Now, it's not for every case, but by and large, that's usually the case. So for fellas, I'm down with it. I think you need it.
And I'm down for single people finally getting a registry.
Yeah, we need to come up with registries for just other various types of people in this world.
Yes.
So there you go. Because who doesn't want free stuff?
Nobody I know.
I know, exactly. Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. We're going to do a little one-word weekend where you give us one word that you feel describes something that happened on your weekend, and we'll try to figure it out. Now, it could be Friday night. We count that as a weekend. Saturday, Sunday, whatever. So, Betty Rock, let's go with yours first.
All right, I got a good one. My one word is buzzworthy.
Buzzworthy. You did something buzzworthy? That seems weird.
Why?
Because you're like a homebody. Homebody, I would have been like, know what you did. Buzzworthy.
Buzzworthy.
Okay, I am going to say that you got to fly in a plane over the weekend, a biplane.
Oh.
And it was a special promotion, and you won it, and you got to fly in a plane, and you guys buzzed the tower Top Gun style.
Whoa.
Yeah, pretty cool. And if it's not this, I'm going to be super let down in your weekend.
Well, get ready to be let down.
I'm used to it. Go.
So I'm going out to meet a friend of mine. I'm going out to my car. It's a beautiful day. Beautiful day.
Did you get attacked by a bee?
I open my car door, get inside. I have put my seatbelt on, okay?
Yes.
Seatbelt on, sir.
Click.
I go to shut my door, and as I'm shutting my door, a bee
nice.
The size of my head
nice.
Came flew right into my car. Well, the car door is already shut, so now it's me and him.
You're just trapped.
Fighting
it's just,
for our lives in this car.
Who's more scared, you or the bee?
I screamed. I asked for the Lord's provision. I ask for the Lord's help in everything. I ask for angels to come down and intervene on my behalf. And I am here to testify that the Lord saw me through it because
really?
I was able to fight my way back to the door, open it, and the bee was able to fly out, and I didn't like hurt myself in the process.
Nice. I could see. That surprises me. I pictured you somehow getting your foot stuck in the steering wheel, wrapped up in the seatbelt, hit her head on the side, and knocks herself out. She's laying out there, and then
I have road rash on the side of my head.
Yeah.
It was all thanks to a bee.
Yeah. Bees, like that scene in Tommy Boy.
Yeah. Yes. Well, at least I was I hadn't gone anywhere. Like, imagine had I been in
drive.
Yeah, and I had taken my foot off the brake or put my foot on the pedal.
My wife leapt out of our car while it was still moving. She's that afraid of bugs. We're driving, kind of same thing. Bee in the car. Like, she's losing her mind. So I'm going to pull over, and I'm still in the process of pulling over. I'm not even fully stopped yet.
Seatbelt
off, door open, she's out in the grass. And it's not even our yard. It's somebody else's yard. I'm like, what the heck, man?
I get it. You don't want to be stung.
This makes me look like a psycho, like she's escaping from me, not the bee.
She's running away from you.
Yeah.
You're like, honey, no.
Get back in this car, and then I get tackled. It's the whole thing. All right, 855-33-WAY-FM. That's how we do it. You tell us a story, but you got to give us one word first that describes it. We'll try to guess what happened. It's one word weekend, 855-33-WAY-FM. What do you got?
Fail.
Fail. F-A-I-L. Fail. Okay. Boy, that's a broad one.
I think that you were trying to show your kids how to ride a scooter correctly.
Oh,
okay?
Nice.
And you were like, I'm cool, Dad. I'm going to get on the scooter. This will be fine. And you're like, film it so you can look back on this, okay? And you can learn how to scooter correctly. You're not wearing a helmet like you should have been. And you go off. And then you fall and face plant, and your kids are like, ha, fail.
All right, Alan, is that it?
No.
Well, that's a good thing that that's not it, actually, honestly, Alan. So what's yours? What's your fail?
So I have been driving past the same tractor trailer tire for 2 weeks on I-40. So Saturday, I tell my Quinn 6-year-old that I'm going to make them a tire swing. So we go. I manhandle this tire into my truck, which was harder than I thought it should ever be.
That's the thing. They do this to work out. You see them flipping tires all the time, and those people that are in shape make it look so easy. It's not as easy as it looks, is it?
I have a new respect for those people.
You get the tire off the road into your truck. You take it home. What happens?
I go to Lowe's. I buy $80 worth of chains and hardware. I get to my house, start to work on the tire with the kids all excited about where they're going to put it, and I discover that the whole inside out of the tire is nothing but wire and mesh and junk.
So
like if they sat on it, it would cut them?
Exactly. So I don't want to hurt my kids, so I'm like, you know what? Sorry, guys, no swing.
Oh.
Y'all, they lost their mind.
Oh, I believe it. If I was your kids, I would have been like, you've got a tire on your truck. Let's take your tire. You kind of owe us, Dad.
They were so disappointed, and I felt so bad.
What do you got?
Barefoot.
Barefoot. Okay. If this was Betty, is it? Well, go, Betty.
Oh, I know. Okay. It's getting to that season where you want to get a pedicure. And sometimes it can be embarrassing when you haven't had one in a very long time and your bare feet are seen for the very first time in a while. And I think you decided you were going to go and be vulnerable and get a pedicure and bare your bare feet. And the lady that was going to have to file those toenails was like,
No, sadly, that is not it.
Oh, sadly, it was worse than that. Okay, well, now I'm dying to hear what it was. What happened? What is one word weekend barefoot for you?
So I have an awesome praise. The family I nanny doesn't go to church. They came to church for Easter weekend. We get all the kids loaded in the car, and they have a 5 and a 3-year-old and a baby. And we get to church. And the 3-year-old gets out of the car, and she is completely barefoot. She walks out of the car barefoot, and we all look at each other like, did she not grab shoes?
Yeah, whose fault was this? Aren't you the nanny? Like, and you're looking at them going, I don't know what happened. I'm off the clock. It's Sunday.
Right. And so she strutted her stuff into church barefoot.
I love it. I literally, when you're like, oh, the family, thy nanny is going to church for the first time, I was like, I thought you were like, oh, and we washed feet, which would be really, really bizarre for people that haven't been in church before. Yeah. Like, be like, okay, I don't know if I like this or not. So just having the kid with no shoes, that happens all the time. That's a good thing.
Okay. It's a huge praise.
That is awesome that they went to church with you. That's good. Did they say anything? Do you guys talk about it after? Like, oh, yeah, we like this, or have any questions?
Yes. The great thing is that both didn't really grow up in church, and they both afterwards were like, that service was beautiful. So I'm thankful and just praying that their hearts continue to be stirred.
Well, there you go. I love it. Thanks so much for being on the show with us today, Morgan.
Yes, thank you.
Monday School is a chance for Wally to share what he learned at church and prove that he went.
Oh, the irony. I did not get to go to church this weekend. I missed Sunday service. Even though they have extra services, we had life stuff going on, family drama stuff, and I missed it. And then Gavin was going to cover us, and then Gavin had family life stuff go on, and then he's not here today. And so thank goodness for TikTok is all I have to say. Because on Saturday, I had seen this thing from this guy talking about Jesus and Easter, and his take on this was great. Because I love when people break down what's going on or the meanings of the words that were actually used back in the original text, which I love. And this guy broke down the significance of Jesus's last words, "It is finished," from the language in which they were spoken from.
All right, when Jesus was on the cross, he cried out in English, "It is finished." But that was just a translation of a Greek word, tetelestai, which was a word that was used in a business context on ancient receipts in the New Testament Bible times to indicate that a literal debt had been paid in full. But check this out. It was also used in a judicial context in court when a particular sentence was fully served, not like somewhat served or kind of served, like completely, fully, once and for all served. And then the word tetelestai was also used in a military context, meaning that a battle had been won. It was a word of like triumph and victory. So check this out. When Jesus hangs on the cross and he cries out, "Tetelestai, it is finished," he was declaring, "Your debt of sin is fully paid. The judgment for your sin has been fully served, and the spiritual war against death, sin, and Satan has been completely won. In Christ, the work of salvation, victory, reconciliation, and new life is fully yours. Ladies and gentlemen, it is finished."
Boom, from TikTok. Like that, I love that stuff, man. Like that is a different take on those words and the importance of them and the significance, because there's so many things in the Bible that, you know, Jesus would tell a story that we kind of look at and we kind of like, okay, what is he, why is he talking about crops? We know nothing about that, but at the time it meant something. When he talks about the Samaritans, it meant something because it had a deeper context involved. And so when people break down the stories as they relate to the context of what was going on and why that carried so much weight for them, that I think that is powerful. And it had to be powerful for them then. And then when we look at it, you know, from our position today, looking back at it, and you see it, you're like, wow, that is pretty deep. So there you go. Other than just dance crazes, every once in a while TikTok will surprise you and save you for a Monday school, apparently. Most big changes start from the inside and then they work their way out. It starts with an idea in your head or a passion in your heart, and then you take the steps to turn that thought or dream into reality. That happened for Betty Rock when she decided to go back to school at Colorado Christian University.
I had always wanted to get a college degree, and I didn't get just one, I got two. And trust me, I am using my psychology degree every day working with Wally.
Wait, what?
Oh yeah, it's happening.
Well, CCU apparently gave Betty Rock the tools she needs, and Colorado Christian University can do the same for you. They can turn you inside out and help make your educational dreams a reality.
Right now, Colorado Christian University is offering you a chance to win a $10,000 or a $5,000 scholarship towards an associate, bachelor's, or master's degree offered 100% online.
And just for entering, you can get a $1,000 scholarship. So text CCU to 91979. Contest ends April 11th.
Colorado Christian University, cultivating the mind without compromising the heart.
He'll help you make sense of today's stories.
Never been much for public speaking or school, really.
As soon as someone explains them to him, it's News-ish with Wally.
Once upon a time I was falling in love, but now I'm only falling apart. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart.
That That's right. The solar eclipse is going to happen on April 8th. I've been hearing all about this, but I never paid attention to what day it was. So it's like a week from now.
I have some friends of mine that are planning on going to a different state so they can see it better.
Really?
And then I have other friends that are on the complete opposite saying, I'm not going anywhere because I'm afraid the grid's going to collapse. Oh,
everything's going to blow up that day. No, like we did one a few years ago. And I enjoyed it. It was really trippy, man. Like, you're like, oh, nothing, 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 nothing. Darkness and birds and stuff going crazy.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
It was weird.
But it was cool, though.
Yeah.
And how cool it got, too.
Yeah.
Like, instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's definitely worth checking out. But they are warning about trying to watch it with the naked eye. Like, when you were a kid, Rock, did your friends ever, like, dare you to see who could look at the sun longer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not alone.
I feel like everyone's childhood involves some
right.
kind of dare like
and then
that.
You close your eyes and all you do is see the round sun. And don't do that, by the way, because it's very dangerous for your eyes. And what's crazy is it's a reminder that the eclipse is how powerful the sun is, because you might want to start looking at it, especially as it's starting to get obscured, and think, oh, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, actually. It can burn your retinas, and they call it eclipse blindness. And it can cause solar retinopathy, which is not good.
It's astonishing to me that we still have to make this a news
I know we do.
Subject.
I
like,
know.
As adults, I mean, yes, for kids,
you would think.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But as adults, we should know better.
Well, I would agree with that to a certain extent, but I'm the guy that just Googled, can I use my welder's mask to view the eclipse? And it turns out if I have it set on 12 or higher,
no.
I can. But wow. Anything lower than 12, I cannot, which I find really hard to believe. But I've got that. So they're saying make sure you get the eclipse glasses, all right, to watch them. And get them early because I'm telling you, they go fast.
They sell out.
Yeah, they last year it was hard to find. And you're looking for ones that say ISO and then a bunch of numbers behind it, okay? So it's 12312. So that might help you. 123122. I know that seems hard
Whoa,
to remember.
Wait, you just added another number.
I did. I was doing it in pieces, okay? but it's easy to remember. 123122, okay? So 123122. ISO 123122.
You just said it the opposite.
No,
right
I didn't.
Now.
123122.
123.
123.
122. You said something different earlier.
It's entirely possible. But that is what you're looking for is ISO 123122. Okay? Those were the kind that will actually protect yours
one,
or your kids' eyes.
Four, two,
no, don't
five,
don't make
seven,
it harder. Please don't make it harder.
Three?
No. What's crazy, though, too, is that the sun, basically the light we see, this is how powerful the sun is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can give us cancer, you know? And the light
right.
we see left 8 minutes ago before it even gets here, which is crazy to think about. So you definitely want to get those glasses, watch it with your kids. And I love the article I read about this was like, and no, polarizing sunglasses, even wearing multiple pairs, will not protect your eyes. That was for adults, because adults will try that stuff.
You are the adult
I know.
They're having to talk to.
I get it. So there you go. So welder's helmet 12 or higher, or eclipse glasses ISO 123122, and you should have a very good experience watching the eclipse.
I promise you have said that number different ways.
I have not.
Yes, you have.
123122.
You said 132 earlier.
No, stop.
Yes,
you're making
it.
Look, I'm trying to protect people's eyes. You're going to hurt people right now. You're doing a damage, okay? Stop.
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me right now?
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show with Are You Kidding Me? This is where we just talk to kids, get it? About stuff, because we want to know what you have to say. Okay, so here's the deal. You got to be a kid. That's the first prerequisite. And what we're going to talk about today is things that you have to do. Like, normally when you're in school, you have to do reports on different things. And it may be stuff you're not into. But we want you to give us a 30-second report on something that you love. Something that you think, like, maybe you're even an expert at. Like Pokemon cards or something. You're like, I know everything there is to know about them. Here's the ones you need. Here's the ones mm-hmm. you don't need. Forging your parents' signature. That's not what we're mm-hmm. looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Not that.
Mm-hmm.
Betty's like, uh-huh, no, not that, Rock. No, that would be bad.
Well, and I know that we're not kids, but Wally, as a grown kid,
yes,
what would you say you have an expert advice on?
Oh, pretty much everything.
That's true. He doesn't need many facts.
Yeah.
He doesn't really need to know the topic, but
yeah.
he can speak on authority.
I will riff on just about anything you give me.
You know what I could speak on?
Yeah.
I could speak on napping.
Yeah, you're okay? an expert at it.
I'm an expert at napping, and
yeah.
my main advice would be imagine your favorite Like place. Okay. Like a field of flowers or like the side of the sea or whatever. And then close your eyes. And then before you know it, you're out.
There you go. See, that's Betty Rock's advice. So what we need from you as a kid is just like a 30-second report on something that you are an expert at, something that you know a lot about, because maybe you like plays different sports or you're into different things. Like maybe you know chess. Who knows? I would love that explained to me because I have no idea how that game is played. I always end up playing checkers with it. So I really do. So 855-33-WAY-FM. If you need to get your parents' permission first before you call, please do that. But 855-33-WAY-FM. Are you kidding me? Only kids right now. Give us that 30-second report on something you are an expert at. Adrian, how old are you?
11.
11 years old. And what are you an expert at, sir?
Wrestling.
Oh, okay. So how long have you been wrestling?
7 years.
7 years? So you started wrestling when you were like four?
Yeah.
Man, now what makes a good wrestler?
Working hard and learning your moves.
Okay. Do you have a finishing move? Like, what's your best move?
A cradle.
Hey, Adrian, what do you want to do with this? Like, do you envision going on to college and wrestling in college?
Yes, sir.
Do you ever picture maybe doing this in the Olympics?
Yes.
Is there anything else that wrestling has taught you that might be applicable to life?
To be tough and to never give up.
There you go. Well, there you go. That's what wrestling has taught you. I hope it takes you really far, Adrian. Adrian, if you and I were to wrestle, do you think you'd beat me?
Yeah.
Oh, that was very confident. And you didn't even hesitate. I like your confidence, Adrian, and part of me is scared of you now. So, yeah, I think you could. Abigail, thank you for joining us for Are You Kidding Me? Something that you're an expert at. This is your moment to shine. What is your thing? What would you like to do a 30-second report on?
Baking.
Oh, you like to bake. Okay, what's your favorite thing to bake?
Sugar cookies.
Oh, I love sugar cookies. No need to complicate it. Just sugar and cookie, you know? And I love that. So, do you bake cookies for your family?
Yeah, a lot.
How much does your family weigh? They're like, stop making us cookies. They're good. We want to support you, but you are literally putting pounds on us. What is a tip, Abigail, for baking that you would pass on to other people, other kids?
While you're baking, you should wear aprons because baking could get really messy. And as you're baking, you should also clean up after yourself.
Abigail, do you have any advice for not spilling when you're baking? Like when I'm doing flour or sugar, my wife gets so upset with me because I seem to get it everywhere. Like it's on the floor, it's on a counter halfway across the kitchen. I don't know how to do it cleanly.
Me neither, but if I spill it, then it just goes in the bowl.
And if you spill it, it's no big deal, is it? My wife needs to learn that. It's not a big deal. If it spills it, we'll clean it up later. Right, Abigail?
Yeah.
Sometimes the best cookies are made with sugar that was on the floor.
No.
Right, Abigail?
That's bad advice, Abigail, right?
Yeah.
Well, Abigail, I appreciate you being on the show with us today for Are You Kidding Me? And I hope that I get to eat at your bakery someday.
Oh, electronic mail.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. If you ever want to get a hold of me, email is the best way. Very easy, wally@wayfm.com. Including this one, says, you ruined it. Congratulations.
He ruins everything.
I know. I'm like, what did I do? Says, hey, Wally, I just want to let you know that you've ruined buttered toast for me for breakfast forever. I cannot butter the toast now without seeing all the crumbs in the butter and getting irritated about them. Yes, that's because I am the crumb butter taker-outer here at work because it drives me nuts, too. Mm-hmm. And so I always scrape them all out because I don't like that. And so now you can't unsee the crumbs in the butter.
I know. And sometimes I leave crumbs in there just on purpose.
I believe it.
Just to make you antsy.
Absolutely believe it. But Aaron, you're welcome there. So now your company will have somebody that will take the crumbs out. It's going to be you, but at least that is getting done. This was kind of interesting. It says, hey, Wally, I just wanted to reach out and say I'm not a Christian and I don't live in the States, but Wally and the Wally Show, you guys have really helped uplift my spirits. I'm glad I can hear it. Helps me through my day. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I email back, hey, where are you from? I'm just curious. And says, oh, I am from Malaysia. That gets sometimes confused with China. I was in a radio club for a while when I was in uni. I think it's university. Maybe that's why I still listen to the radio. I do believe in a divine force. I just didn't grow up in church nor find a church being conducive to well-being. I'm sorry I don't contribute financially to WayFM. Forgive me. I'm like, it's okay. It's not a problem. I'm just glad you're listening.
Right.
And if you're getting something out of this and you're enjoying it, it's kind of like making you feel good. Like, that's great.
Well, and two, that person is a perfect example of what it does when you give and you partner with your WayFM. You're helping people find Jesus through the songs that they hear right here.
Absolutely. And all across the world, too.
Yeah.
As in this case, Malaysia, you know, which I think is really cool. And so, you know, hopefully this will start a conversation, too. Because I was like, hey, look, if you ever have any questions about things you hear on the show or faith stuff, please ask me.
Yeah.
And I'll be more than happy to either answer it or find somebody who knows the answer for you. And so, yeah, Betty's right. That's just part of the outreach of this ministry that gets to people. And when you support it, you're part of making sure that people are, you know, giving the opportunity to go deeper in their faith or to find faith for the first time. So if you already support the ministry of WayFM, thank you very, very much for what you do on behalf of me and just everyone else that's listening. So if you ever want to email me, wally@wayfm.com is the best way.
Things you didn't know you needed to know today. It's News-ish with Wally.
So if you're planning some traveling, we might be able to give you some insight here on summer family trips. I love to travel, and I like to go see things, that, you know, kind of some of the big tourist attractions. One of mine on this list of things that might be overrated is on here, and it's one that my wife has wanted to go see forever. It's like a bucket list trip for her, and we still haven't gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Rushmore.
I've heard you say it was pretty boring. And I mean, it's built into American history that it's something we should be proud of.
I mean, it's amazing looking. Like, you kind of see, I've heard that when you get there, it's like, oh, okay. And then, like, now what do we do?
All this hard work, and some tourist comes over there and goes, oh, okay. Yeah,
that's nice. The Grand Canyon was like that for me, too. I spent 10 minutes at the Grand Canyon and was like, wow, that's a good hole. Lunch, anyone? You know,
oh,
like, I don't always, like, relish the point that I'm at, like, sometimes. But Mount Rushmore actually made it as the number one overrated tourist attraction.
So you're not alone in what you think.
I know. I'll still go because I want my wife to do something she wants to see. But you have to travel a long way to see it. And most people's impression is it's smaller than they thought it would be. That happens a lot. Absolutely.
Well, especially if it's far away. It does. Mm-hmm. It is going to seem a bit smaller.
Another place that's overrated, Vegas. Vegas, yeah. I mean, Vegas tried to familyize things for a while.
They did?
They did. They really did. Vegas had a horrible reputation. Then they tried to make it family. And then they got back on this, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And so now it's like it's gotten more expensive. You used to be able to eat there really cheap. But now everything's more expensive.
I have no want to ever go to Vegas at all.
I could see that. Yeah, I don't think it's that great. Like,
it doesn't even seem great.
There are a couple shows that I would like to see there, like some of the Cirque shows, Cirque du Soleil, like that stuff I think is cool. And I'd like to see that new Sphere thing. I mean, just the thing with the round venue.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah, like I would like to see that. Times Square is another overrated thing.
You'd probably be more amazed by that oval whatever thing than the Grand Canyon. The whole Lord made.
I know.
And you're like, meh.
If he'd made a sphere out of it and put some advertising on it, I'd be like, wow. Well, speaking of advertising, Times Square is another overrated thing. It's very crowded.
It's horrible.
And don't ever make the mistake of, like, do you see a janky Mickey Mouse there, like in a Mickey costume? Don't take the picture because they want money for it.
Yeah, and it smells. They don't tell you how bad it smells.
No, and so it's, I mean, when you go to New York, you have to see it, but, like, you don't need to spend much time there.
No.
It's like, you see it, I got it, I got the picture,
got the
and
gist.
Now I'm out of there. And finally, an overrated tourist attraction, Plymouth Rock. Kind of like the Mount Rushmore, I guess.
Huh.
So Plymouth Harbor is nice, they say, but then Plymouth Rock is just a rock, and it's even behind bars, so like you can't even touch it. So you get there, you're like, well, there's where the pilgrims landed. Okay, Plymouth Rock.
Hmm.
Lunch, anyone? You know,
it always comes back to lunch.
I know
for you.
That's what it is for me, for sure. But in any event, like, it's just getting out and traveling and seeing as much of the country or the world as you can. You always get good stories and you make memories with your family, even if it is, that's Plymouth Rock, huh? At least you'll have that story. So hopefully, you have a really good summer trip plan this year to make some memories with your family. Uplifting WayFM, this is The Wally Show, and getting older is just one of those things that we all have to deal with, but sometimes you start to feel old before your time, like, Gavin was 27, and he already does old man things, which I'm kind of surprised by sometimes.
I mean, yeah, and I think he embraces the old man way of dressing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, he's got the glasses.
He really did get old man glasses.
All he needs is for his beard to turn
white. Yeah.
And he could be mistaken for Santa Claus.
Yeah, but I think that you probably, too, because you're younger than me, but there are things that you probably do that fall into this category of things that make you feel older than you are.
Sure. I started this probably in my 20s.
Yeah.
Was puzzling. I love
puzzles.
Yes. Knitting. Love knitting.
Yep.
Napping. Need it.
Those made the list. Crochet, knit, things like that.
Bird watching. All about it.
Now, again.
Oh, you fell off the bandwagon big time with bird watching.
I did.
To the point where this man bought himself a bird feeder that had a camera inside.
It was for my wife.
It was for you. You had it hooked to your phone, and you even had a file under the photos in your phone that was dedicated to all the birds that you caught in your little bird feeder.
Yeah, especially like Max. He was so cool, a little cardinal. And then there's Jay. He was a blue jay. really great. Yeah, I know. I found myself getting completely absorbed by it. Mm-hmm. And so definitely something that was an old person thing to do that I was doing before I probably should have.
But I think we've all caught ourselves
Absolutely.
Doing that a time or two.
I'm curious if you have something that made this list of things that are typically thought of as old people things. And so what is something that you do that you think, this might make me a little bit old before my time? 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll let you know if it made the list or not. 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take your old age hobby or whatever it is that makes you feel old that you think old people do before your time. 855-33-WAY-FM. Do you have something in your own life like that? We'll see if it made this list.
I'm not even 30 yet. I'll be 30 in May. And without fail, if I'm standing up out of my chair, I am grunting, groaning, and popping and cracking.
That is very old man-ish. Yeah, like when you stand up, you're like, oh, and you make that noise.
That's the one.
The reason I know that is because I've made that noise myself, and I make it more and more and louder every day now.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good one, and yes, that did make the list, Zach, so you were officially old before your time.
I knew it.
You know what, Zach? I'll let you go, because, I mean, you got to start getting ready for dinner around 4 this afternoon, so.
Hey, yep, sounds about right.
All right, Sherry, you're up. What is that thing that you do that might be an old person thing?
Okay, so I find myself looking at landscapes and flowers and then getting my camera out and taking pictures of it like my parents used to do, Wally. That is so crazy.
How old are you?
I'm 58, so I'm pushing it.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that is kind of a thing that older people would do, and then they'd talk about them, and then they'd show you pictures of the flowers that they took on their morning walk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But here's the thing. I don't feel 58, you know, so I feel like I shouldn't be doing that yet.
You know what? If it makes you happy, you just go ahead and lean into it, you know, because you're 58 years young.
I know. There you go. I like that. Thanks, Wally.
So what do you do?
So I've actually been knitting since I was about 9. My mom started teaching me.
It's not a bad skill to have. What have you knitted?
A lot of washcloths, several scarves, a couple of different teddy bears.
I can see how people kind of see knitting as an old person thing. Is there anything else? This will help us determine it.
I recently have gone into a lot of baking and doing old style ferment. Like, I have a ginger bug that is a few months, and I have a sourdough starter that's almost 4 years now.
Oh, wow. That's kind of cool. Sourdough is really trendy right now, though. So, I mean, what might make you feel old, but now you're actually on trend. I know a lot of people that are doing the whole sourdough thing.
I know. I also keep finding them. I'm like, have you guys tried making English muffins? Have you made tortillas? Have you done muffins? There's more than just the bread loaves.
Well, see, you're improving on it, and you're making it trendy and modern and now. So, no, you're definitely not old. How old are you again, 29?
Yes.
You're just ahead of the curve. You're going to be the coolest 80-year-old one day, though.
Oh, I will, because I also drive a motorcycle, so I'll be an 80-year-old motorcyclist who also bakes bread and knits on the weekend.
Nice, nice. I love it. Well, Sydney, thanks for being on the show with us.
Thank you, Ollie.
And now for some good news.
Uplifting Way FM. This here is the Wally Show. A little bit good news. Giddy up. The regular news can be a little bit heavy, divisive, or a bummer. So we like to find some stories that are not that. Let's start off with me here. There was an SUV. It got T-boned in an intersection, and it flipped on its side. Fortunately, no one was seriously hurt, but there was footage of a bunch of people, like 9 volunteers, rushed over to help. I love when people rush over to help. Now, there was a 10th person. They were videotaping it. but, you know, at least it was good that somebody did. They figured they had it covered. At least we could. Then we have proof of what happened. And these 9 people run over, and they literally push this SUV back onto its wheels so the driver could get out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, yes. And the strength of all those people to do that. And I'm sure there was high fives afterwards, you know.
But I hope that person didn't have, like, a horrible spinal injury.
Like whiplash of going back. Like,
and then they're like, and...
Yeah. Wait. Boom. Okay. They were fine before the flip.
This is good news.
Exactly. All right, Betty Rock, what do you got? Good news, goody up, go.
Laverne Beiser, he is 105 years old, and he's an eclipse chaser. So he's gearing...
Fortunately, eclipses are very slow.
Right. Yeah, that's true. They need to be for him. He's gearing up to see his 13th eclipse next week. So if you didn't know, we've got an eclipse that's happening, but it's only, you have to go to the certain parts of it that'll be in the path of totality. And Laverne, he is actually in that path. So he doesn't have to travel at all to see his 13th eclipse because he lives in Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, nice.
And the path of totality is going right over his house.
Oh, that made it a lot easier for him. But he's seen 13. That guy at 105, that guy's seen more than just eclipses. That guy's seen a lot of life.
Yes.
And can you imagine the changes you've seen in 100 years of living?
Yeah, because if he was born in a...
Yeah.
He would...
Doing math.
Uh-oh. 1924.
24, right.
Then... Actually, 1918.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The 19. Things he's seen, world wars, I mean, the bad stuff he's seen, the depression, but then he's also seen people landing on the moon, computers, electric cars, all the things you would have not ever thought was possible. Yeah. That guy got to see. So that's pretty cool. So there
you go. Way to go, Laverne.
There you go. That's going to do it for your good news. Giddy up.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.
Uplifting Way FM. This is The Rock Report with Betty Rock.
What would you say Wally makes for a good child actor?
Someone that's believable. That can cry on cue.
That's my number one.
Yeah.
Believability.
Most children, like when you see them in, especially dramatic roles, they're like, ooh, I don't know. There were a couple, like Dakota Fanning when she was little, was a better actress when she was little than as an adult. I think. My personal opinion. Haley Joel Osment, another good child actor. Mm. So yeah, you gotta believe them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I found a list of the top best child actors of all time, and let's see if you agree. A couple of kids that made the list are some that Wally has already mentioned, like Haley Joel Osment.
Really?
Forrest Gump and Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
And then Dakota Fanning of War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Equalizer.
She was great in that.
Denzel Washington. Mm-hmm. Also Christian Bale with Disney's Newsies.
He was I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. And then Jodie Foster. She was in all those different Disney films back in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, because then you had Kurt Russell who was also in those, but he wasn't a stellar actor as a kid, and he got marginally better as an adult.
Well, they made the top list, but they didn't make the top three.
Okay.
So here's what came in the top three. Number three was Home Alone and My Girls, Macaulay Culkin.
No. Really? Come on!
You don't think so?
No. I would debate that one.
You didn't think he was a good actor?
Marginal.
When he gets stung by the bee in My Girl and he passed.
I never saw My Girl.
He needs his glasses. He can't see without his glasses.
Okay, I never saw My Girl.
Okay, I would say that little girl in that movie was actually better than him.
Yeah, see?
I'm taking all that back.
There it is.
Okay, number two, Judy Garland, Wizard of Oz. Mm,
oh, yeah, she had the big pouty face and stuff like that. Yeah, I thought she was good. Yeah. That would rank up there.
Yeah. So then number one, you have any guesses?
I would have thought Dakota Fanning would have been number one, so I'm surprised she's not. Can you give me any kind of a hint?
Female.
Okay, bigger hint?
a lot older.
Oh, like old school. Like Judy Garland surprised me, actually. Yeah. Shirley Temple.
Yep. Shirley Temple made it to number one. Everybody loved her cute little smile and her chunky little cheeks and her curly hair.
Yeah.
Little Orphan Annie.
Would she count as a great actress back then? Because really, the movies weren't great back then. You know, like.
No, and I do wonder, had she been around now, we'd be like.
Yeah.
They're pretty desperate back then.
Yeah, it is true. Like, I'd like to see the difference between, like, the way child actors were dealt with then versus currently. Oh,
well,
like,
you can see through Judy Garland's life that it was completely different than what they do now.
Yeah, there's a Netflix special about the kids from Nickelodeon.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen it yet. It's probably pretty rough, though.
Yeah.
It would be my assumption, and so watch with care or caution, I guess.
But you look at, like, people like Hilary Duff. She was a child actor. Not good.
Yeah.
No. But she was in Disney's Lizzie McGuire. Yeah. She turned out really well.
Yeah.
Like, there are some that do turn out well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I hate to see the ones that it doesn't go that way. They hit this fame that they wanted, but then it undoes them and it undoes their childhood. And you have to ask yourself, is it worth it?
Right.
You know, and you have to ask them, is it worth it? I'd be interested to know that question for the kids that like went through some hard stuff. Would it be like, yeah, this was worth it ultimately? Or no, I wish I had just been a normal kid and never gotten into this world. So there you go. That's going to do it for your Rock Report. Thank you, Lady Rock. Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. And Betty Rock had come across this thing the other day that I thought, uh-oh, this dude is in a load of trouble.
He's in a pickle. So him and his fiance are getting married soon, and he was put with the task of picking up her wedding dress from the department store.
You never do that. Do not ever trust your fiance with things of that importance. That's a bridesmaid job. That's a mother of the bride job.
It's a $2,000 dress, so it's an expensive one. He put it on the roof of his car so that he could move around some things in the back seat, and because he didn't want the dress to get crumpled, and that's understandable, and that's good. The problem came, though, when he shut the door, got in the car, and drove off with the gown still on the roof of the car. So they have lost the dress, and they can't find it. And so they have lost so much money, all because he decided to leave it on the roof of the car accidentally.
I get it. He's distracted, you know, and he's going to pay for this in more ways than one.
Oh, for sure. Well, and what was so funny, too, is I was reading this whole article on the story, and they asked the woman, are you still going to marry him? And she said, yeah, I guess so.
Oh, yeah. It's just what he does. Knucklehead. So it does make me think, though, because it wasn't his, and so maybe if it was something he really loved, he would have been more. I think he was just distracted.
I think he was, too. I don't think he would have done it on purpose, but also too, like this is a big deal,
right,
and
it is.
Can't lose your head over it.
I know, but I am curious. Like, have you ever lost something of somebody else's, something that was not yours, and you lost it? Whether you know, not necessarily you left it on the roof of a car, but you just lost something of somebody else's, because that always feels really bad. Because then you're like, okay, how do I tell them? And then you've got to replace it, which isn't fun,
especially too if it's costs a lot more, or it's got an emotional value to it.
Oh,
so money
yes.
or emotional, not good.
Yeah,
not
for sure. 855-33-WAY-FM. We love having you on the show with us. This is how you can do it. Just call this number, 855-33-WAY-FM. Put that in your favorites so you can get right through. And so that's what's on the table right now for discussion is, what is that thing of somebody else's that you lost? 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours now. So have you ever lost something of somebody else's?
Well, we didn't lose it, but when my family, we used to work overseas, and when we were living overseas, we actually were staying in a guest house with another family, and I had twin toddlers at the time, so they were a lot to keep up with, constantly trying to keep them out of places they weren't supposed to be, and my little boy found a bracelet that was like hand-blown glass and had been given to my friend by someone in Italy that was her friend, and it was really expensive, and he broke it.
Oh,
right?
No.
Like, dropped it. But she was so gracious about it, and she was like, well, you know, I'm expecting my first. I know that this is going to be hard. My kids are going to do things like this, too. But I tried to offer him as a replacement for the bracelet, but she said that she'd rather have the bracelet, so I don't know, you know.
Yeah, you're like, take my son, please. Honestly, he's cost me a lot of money already.
It would have made me feel a lot better.
Well, Natasha, we appreciate you being on the show with us today. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
What is that thing of someone else's that you lost?
Yes, I lost my roommate's laundry once. I was supposed to donate it to a thrift store. As it turned out, it was her dirty laundry, and I thought it was supposed to be in another bag. So I walked down, and when I came back, she was looking for her laundry, and she said, oh my goodness, you took the wrong bag.
So she had stuff to donate that she didn't want anymore, but instead you donated her actual laundry that she still wanted.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
So I ended up going back there, and look for me, I found it.
No way. So the Goodwill or whoever you donated it to still had the bag and you got it all back?
Yes.
I got to be honest, I'm surprised they didn't sell it to you. Well, you know, this stuff's pretty nice stuff. It's pretty expensive. We're going to have to charge you double for this. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And this is something that we offer. And it's a great, like, community of people that share each other's prayer requests. And they pray for each other. And we have staff that pray for people and a prayer pastor. It's called our prayer wall. And if you want to get involved with it, we made it really easy.
Yeah, just text the word PRAY, P-R-A-Y, PRAY to 91979, and we will send you a link. That's PRAY to 91979.
And Betty Rock will go through the prayer wall and pull stuff for me to share and things like that. And this last one, man, like, it was crazy. Like, Gina was like, my husband and I have an upcoming court date to get custody of our granddaughter. And, you know, they've had her for 2 years now, but the mother overdosed. Their son's been addicted to drugs and alcohol. Like, it's heavy. And then there's Brian, who's like, hey, play for my sister who's battled addiction her whole life. My dad has supported her, and he's elderly and running out of strength. And it's like, you see the addictions that people have that aren't just their mistakes. Like, addiction affects everyone around it that it touches. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you feel very powerless and helpless in this, because you can cry with somebody, you can shout at somebody, you can do anything you think you can do to wake them up, but unfortunately, until they realize that they got a problem and they need help, it just doesn't change. And so where do you find strength? Where do you find help? Where do you find hope? You pray, you know, and sometimes that's all you can do. And so to have other people that are praying for you, and I think you agree with me, Betty, one of the coolest parts of the prayer wall is the notifications, right?
Yeah. So when you pray for someone, you click this little box on the side that says, hey, I prayed for this person. And that person who put up the request will get a notification on their phone or through their email, and it'll just pop up and say, hey, somebody prayed for you. And we've gotten firsthand knowledge of this. Mm-hmm. Like, we've posted things on the prayer wall before. And also, too, we've had people calling in saying, man, that was just what I needed when I was going through something so difficult.
Yeah, and that's crazy, too, because sometimes you post something and like a week later, somebody just sees it and then they pray for you, and it's like, mm-hmm. bing, right at the right time, like, hey, Lord, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And that's how the prayer wall works. We'd love to have you be a part of it on all sides of it, whether it's posting or praying or both. All you have to do is just text that word pray to 91979 and we will send you a link.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online for supporting what we do.